Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, we're hanging out with the dynamic duo Linda Stewart and Linda Noble, who share their journey and collaborative work in the world of sexual education and theology of the body. They tell about their work with the Identity Project, aiming to help parents and families chat about sexuality and relationships in a faith-filled, positive way. The Lindas then talk about their own light bulb moments from the Theology of the Body Institute and how they're now passionate about giving parents the tools to paint a beautiful picture of God's design for their kids. They're all about tackling the big questions and easing those parent jitters with resources like their books and workbooks. It's all about building trust, having heart-to-hearts, and guiding the little ones through life's big topics. You can learn more about the Lindas and their work at both identityproject.tv and theconversationworkshop.com. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, we'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's jump into today's great conversation with the Lindas. Well, all right. I have the Lindas. I have Linda Stewart and Linda Noble. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we get into some of the topical information that we're going to be talking about in this conversation around the Identity Project that you guys are involved in and just some incredible stuff that you guys have done, especially in the space of helping families and parents to navigate sexual issues, I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit about how you guys met and especially how, you know, you started to become known as the Lindas. It's like your brand now. You're the Lindas.
It's true. That was accidental. Yes. So I'm Linda Stewart, and often Linda Noble tells this story, but the breadcrumbs are pretty awesome. We started to work together at a nonprofit for quite a while, and we collaborated together as educators of students in the public and private education systems. And what really kicked this off was Linda Noble was asked to put together curriculum for a family life series in the faith-based setting at schools. And she and I have really similar backgrounds in church and in how we were taught about sex and our bodies, pretty similar in that respect. And so she initially, Linda, I actually feel badly talking about you. So do you want to fill in this piece right there?
Oh, well, yeah, I think, you know, when I was asked to do this, I really didn't want to. My first reaction was just so negative. Like, I do not know a way to talk about the body and sexuality in a way that feels really compelling. It just fell flat for me. So I was trying to imagine myself, even though I was writing curriculum, teaching students about their body and sexuality. And all I could recall from the way that I was taught growing up in church was it was all about the rules, like these are how you must behave if you are a Christian, and this is how you don't behave if you're a Christian, and here's all the bad things that will happen to you if you don't follow the rules. And I just couldn't imagine trying to teach that to students when I didn't have any passion for that. And so in our organization, we had a friend who was from a Catholic background, and we were kind of commiserating with her, like, how are we going to do this? I don't know how I can write curriculum or teach lesson plans on this topic. And she asked if we'd ever been exposed to Theology of the Body, which is a work by Pope John Paul II. And we hadn't. And so from there, I started doing some research, trying to understand it, and then decided to go to Pennsylvania to learn from the Theology of the Body Institute, and invited Linda Stewart to come along with me. So that's kind of how it all got started. We had such an adventure learning together, listening together, and we were just so struck with the beauty of this teaching. So as we moved forward, we were like, we need to figure out how to communicate the truths of theology of the body in a way that is accessible to parents and giving them the tools that they need to cast that vision for their own children.
Yeah. Yeah, I had had that exact sense that Linda Noble did of what I had heard fell flat, felt disjointed, disconnected, and didn't, like, the pieces didn't even stack up, in my opinion. By then being married, and I think I had two kids by then, it just, I was like, this isn't right. So going to that Theology of the Body Institute, what Linda Noble said, suddenly it was not only compelling, but like holistic and just very cohesive. And all of a sudden, all the puzzle pieces not only fit together, but created this beautiful picture that we both felt really confident inviting parents to give to their kids, because it was really transformative for the two of us first.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, let's try to tackle this enormous question that is really a foundational question. I mean, even as you get, as you have both been saying, you know, theology of the body, theology of the body, you know, I can imagine we have some listeners, first of all, that may not be familiar with that in a formal sense in terms of Pope John Paul's work on that and just the whole teaching and all the resources that have come out of that. But just that phrase can maybe blow some people's hair back and go, what, theology of the body? Like, that seems like an extremely comprehensive overall study of, you know, body and sexuality and all of that. But I think that's the fundamental question that I would love for you both to address. And that is, why is understanding God's design for sex, this overarching kind of theology of the body, why is that so vital for addressing all the various forms of sexual brokenness that we see in the culture today?
Go ahead, Linda.
Okay. Well, you're saying some of the listeners might not know what theology of the body is, and that's just like this new big idea. It's a great idea. So we just love to invite your listeners, if you haven't heard of it, to look into it. And we'll talk about resources along the way that will help them do that in bite-sized chunks, because the original teaching is by Pope John Paul II. It's quite dense. It's quite extensive. But it is a biblical view of a Christian sexual ethic. And I don't know if everybody will like how I describe it, but the most simplistic way for me is that it creates this view of sexuality that I feel like we have been trying to interpret and trying to take like cultural messages about sex and maybe Sunday school messages about sex, and then trying to cope with the individual things that happen in each of our lives and what does that mean. And then we try to weave all that together into some sort of meaning of sex and sexuality and God's design, while completely forgetting that the designer of all that gave us all the information that we need from the very beginning and wove that really big comprehensive story throughout the entire Bible in his messages to us. And so, you know, we get a lot of anxiety and a lot of those puzzle pieces don't fit together. But theology of the body for me, and I think I can say for Linda too, says, okay, you've been trying to put this puzzle together without having the original picture. It's okay. You don't have to be anxious. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's look at that original picture of God's design. And then that's going to inform everything else you've been trying to make sense of. And to me, that's what theology of the body does. Linda, do you want to
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that because, you know, I think as parents or mentors or teachers, if somebody starts asking questions about sexuality, we can get really anxious. Like, oh no, this is like a big question, and how do I even begin to answer? And I think it's so straightforward. If you say, well, you know, Jesus, when he was asked about sexuality and about marriage, he pointed back to the beginning, to the Genesis account, where God designed the human person. And the way that God designed the human person was in such a way that it would communicate something about God and his invitation to relationship with himself. So sexuality is just a picture of what God is inviting us to in relationship with himself. That's like makes it, I think, although at first it's a little bit hard to comprehend that, it blows the picture up in a bigger way, so that we can see what we're really talking here about here is our desire for relationship with God to satisfy us in a deep, fulfilling way that is pictured by the design of God for our sexuality. So I also think that it's important for us to, especially with our kids, help them to establish this foundational idea that God is our designer, and his intention from the very beginning, as we look at the Garden of Eden, was that we would experience this beautiful life and inviting us to enter into life with him, you know, in the garden as the first human persons, and to follow his direction into that beautiful life. And of course, we chose not to. We chose to find our own way. And that's, Jonathan, I think what you were talking about too, when it was talking about all kinds of sexual brokenness and every kind of brokenness that we as human persons experience is due to our desire to find fulfillment in that satisfying life outside of God's direction. So really, I think it's so important for us with our kids to say, like, you can trust God. He wants to give you a beautiful and satisfying life. And you can go your own way and try to find it, or you can choose to have confidence that God is giving you a direction into this beautiful life that he's inviting us to. And that, you know, a big part of that is our sexuality.
Yeah, you know, a simple way that I sometimes try to describe this is if my car starts acting up in some way and I take it into a good mechanic, I'm relying on a mechanic to actually not just look at the problem and say, okay, I'm going to have a problem-centric approach to how I'm going to deal with this. No, they need to know how that car was designed to function.
Yes.
Like, what is it supposed to do? And then you can properly diagnose what the particular problem is. You could never actually fix my car if you didn't actually know what it was intended to do by the designer.
Yeah.
And I think in the same way, that's why I think we need to approach sexuality first from the designer, so that we can say whatever the brokenness is in all of these aspects of our sexuality, we don't start there. We have to understand, well, what did the designer say I was supposed to look like, function like? How am I supposed to live? And then it gives great instruction for whatever's broken or whatever is out of, you know, alignment there.
Yeah.
But I think we get that backwards a lot of times, right? We want to be so problem centric, and then you got a million different solutions.
Yes.
To all the various, you know, aspects of brokenness. So you guys have done some work and have actually provided some content for something called the Identity Project. Can you share a little bit about what drew you kind of to that project and doing some collaboration with them?
Yeah. Well, we love to collaborate. So if you ask us to collaborate with you, we will already be very excited. And the Identity Project, their heart was really collaboration with multiple experts and cover a variety of topics. They weren't rigid. They weren't, you know, limited in their vision. And so that was really attractive. And they want to help educate anybody who's interested in learning more about Jesus and the topics that, like Linda and I both mentioned, make us anxious or we're not quite sure how to navigate. So we love that heart for people. And we know, because we reach out to parents, you know, or caregivers, people who instruct children, seem like a really, really nice way to dovetail with the work that we're already doing and to be able to collaborate with other great people.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So what are some of the projects that you guys did for the Identity Project? Like, what did you cover in some of the content that you did for that?
Well, I'm laughing just because we had a big, huge plan that we had worked on prior to going for filming. And basically, they told us to scrap our plan and just start talking. So yeah, I think at the end, we weren't even quite sure what we talked about because that was such a challenge for us. But we talked about, there's 5 videos that are on the Identity Project channel, I think is what they're calling it, or their video library. And so one is just really called Beyond Relationships and talking about how our sexuality is a picture of an invitation that's greater than we even realize into a relationship with God. And then one of them was the beauty of singleness, how it's so important for us to understand the invitation of God, not just in marriage, but also in singleness into relationship with himself, and how that single and celibate vocation in life can be very beautiful, and how we can learn from our friends who are single and celibate a lot about how to enter into that satisfying relationship with God. And then we also talked about the covenant of marriage. I think that's something that was I never really understood. I thought marriage was just a wedding and a party, like a ceremony and a party. And when I really started to understand things differently, I saw how that marriage covenant was established from the beginning of humanity, and how God uses covenant throughout his history with his people to describe a very special kind of relationship. And then we also talked about the sex talk, how to talk to your kids, some specific talking points that we could use in our conversations with our kids just when we finally get to that place where we really want to address and introduce them to what their bodies are all about, and into their future choices regarding sexuality.
And it does appear that you had one other segment that was literally on that—the teaching of the teaching kids the big picture of the human body. I know that so many of these overlap, right? They kind of dovetail into each other. I want to focus on those last two, actually, because the rest of our time, I would love for us to be speaking to parents and to families, and you know, specifically, you know, parents who, hey, they've still got kids in the home, whether that, you know, birth to adulthood, and just maybe let's start going back to that original question of, hey, why does God's design matter? And maybe let's start to put a little bit of practical legs to some of this. How do parents, where do they even start in engaging these kinds of conversations with their kids around their bodies and sexuality?
So this approach, something Linda and I were really drawn to, is that it doesn't start where these conversations typically start. So you actually don't necessarily start with the sex piece or body or the biology or any of that, because back to your car example, you need to know the original design and what, like, a car, my daughter loves cars, what a car running on all cylinders, what that's designed to look like and feel like. And, you know, I loved your example because it means you're also assuming that that car was designed on purpose to run well. And we can trust the design of that car. And so that's where these conversations start, that, like what Linda Noble was describing, first of all, you can trust the designer and his good vision and love for you and others, which is an important place to start with this conversation. It's not all about us. Everything that's true for me is true for every other human person in the world. And that that designer has a longing for us, for our kids to flourish in relationship with him and others. That's like a well-running car that's just revving, right? Like living in very, Linda Noble and I use the word, I think it's from Theology of the Body, like living in a communion, in a relationship that flourishes with Jesus and others. And so that's where we start. And Linda, I don't know where you would take it from there, or you want to add something?
Yeah, I think definitely we start with that confidence and trust in God and his direction for our lives. And then one of the things that I think we felt was very important was, from before we ever talk about sex or bodies, that we help kids to understand that they have longings and desires. And later on, you know, unless we address the longing and the desire that they're experiencing, they're going to hear the message of the culture and say those longings and desires are only met within a romantic relationship or a sexual relationship. And so we want to start from the very beginning, giving them a taste, like helping them to figure out, how do I connect with God, who is the only one that can truly meet me in that place of deep longing and desire. And when I am able to do that, then I'm able to freely enter into a loving relationship with other human persons. But unless I address the desire at the start, then I'm not going to be able to be free to really love others. And then we would just talk about the design of the human body and how males and females, they picture, they are a picture of God's invitation into relationship with himself, that God designed us in a way that within that marriage relationship, we can come into such that our bodies can unite into sexual union. And so that's, I think, something that we want to describe it as the fulfillment of that marriage covenant. So we go into what is a covenant, how it's like two vows or persons exchanging vows or promises to one another before God. And in that moment, and this is all throughout scripture, that there's becomes a mystical union of two embodied persons we can't see it, but it happens at the moment that that covenant is made. And then that this sexual union is actually the seal of the covenant. It's the visible sign of that invisible covenant. So really casting a positive vision of the design. And then when we're going back to answer questions about choices that our kids are going to make, we just go back. Do you want to live into the design that God has created you to flourish within, or do you, you know, want to go your own way? And so I think that's been a really important way for us to approach this, from a positive perspective.
Yeah. Now I know that all families are different. There's a uniqueness to every single family, but there's also kind of things that operate on a bell curve, right? And so when might be some of the strategic times in a child's developmental process that you start transitioning maybe to some more specific language around sex and some of these other things? You know, you're not necessarily going to tell a three-year-old the mechanics of sex, right? So when might be some of the strategic moments for addressing new elements of the specific aspects of sex? And even like you were saying, Linda Noble, to eventually this whole beautiful image of marriage, what might be some strategic moments for parents to be looking for?
Maybe we'll tag team this.
Sure.
So the flourishing piece can start, you know, right away, you know, even just, I mean, obviously infants are going to pick up on what they pick up on, but your closeness and attachment, I'm a therapist, so sorry if I use that kind of language, but your connection with your child is already communicating relationship and communion with somebody. And as kids, you know, at a very young age, just teaching them about God's longing for them, God's love for them, and their, if you don't use words like flourishing, Linda Noble, I think in our book we use words like your best life or, you know, a good life. Just communicating from a very young age as a very, very strong foundation for them that their designer loves them, loves to be in relationship with them, and loves all of us to be in relationship with other. And that's really mirrored in a lot of families. The kids know what that's like. The more specific the other thing I wanted to say about that is you can talk about flourishing in whatever vocabulary makes sense to you and your child for the rest of their days. So that's not something that times out. It's something that, like Linda Noble said, you reintroduce them to and remind them of, because we all have leaky brains and information falls out and we need to be reminded, oh yeah, God does. His heart towards me is good. He loves me. Ways I taught that to my kids was reading them the Chronicles of Narnia. I think that gave a really beautiful vision of a God who loves them in Aslan. And then I was thinking, Linda Noble, as he was talking, like some of those specific language around anatomy or design for sex. Anatomy can start very early in the bathtub or going to the bathroom or watching mom and dad go to the bathroom. And that's just keep it simple. If they have a question, a very simple answer to the question that's anatomically correct. There's reasons and rationale for that because they might be exposed to other language that's not accurate or appropriate and can confuse them. So home should be a place where they're hearing that accurate language. And then to your point, Jonathan, that every family is different. Like if you're in a relationship with your kid, you know the questions they're asking when they're at a family get together and see, you know, an aunt and uncle being affectionate or a cousin being affectionate, or you know what they're seeing on TV, often what conversations happen at school. And I think those are all cues of when to introduce certain subject matter based on when the child's coming to you with experiences or questions that could really strongly vary based on the child.
Yeah. And even within a single family, it can be different if you've got multiple kids. There's a unique relationship with each kid, right? So you can't just sort of standardize this and say, okay, when they hit five, all of them, we're going to talk about this. Or when they hit 10, all of them, we're going to do it this way, you know? So there's a customization to this. And that's kind of what my question was around of like, but there can also be maybe some strategic markers to look for. So Lynn, do you want to share a little bit about that in terms of some other things you want to add to that answer? Linda Noble.
Well,
sorry, I'm looking right at you on my screen. You know, nobody else knows that, but
Stuart's a therapist. It definitely is. I think we've created materials for parents to work through with their kids at home. And so, and this is, we haven't even really released those quite yet. They're about to come out in the month of May. And basically, we have a book for 6 to 8 year olds and then a book for 9 to 11 year olds. And it moves through all of these concepts that we wrote in our book before the sex talk, and helps you to move through step by step with your child in conversation, in discussion. And so I think you can really gauge from their responses to those like more structured lesson plans. Like if you're seeing that they have questions that come up as a result of those discussions, then we also have like an appendix at the end, how to answer those questions for your kids. But we really talk about sexual union for 6 to 8 year olds as our parents imaging God's love to one another by a very special and close relationship where they give and receive love, and just speak about it in more general terms, but still descriptive of what the picture of sex actually is all about. And then when we go into 9 to 11 year olds, we get more specific about the sexual union and the biological parts of our body. And even there, we are describing them in a way that helps them to understand how those parts even picture something about God and his desire for our lives.
Yeah. So I've got a few more questions before we wrap up today. One is, you know, I was thinking about this. I've been in this space of ministry professionally since the time my kids were toddlers all the way to their adulthood. And I experienced moments of fear and awkwardness and ignorance and just all this kind of stuff. So what would you say to the parents out there that are either feeling stuck or afraid around this topic, and how do they maybe get over that hurdle?
I love that you're thinking about parents and your audience that way, because that's exactly what happens. I can talk about sex in my therapy room all day long and then go home and talk to my adult daughters. It's like, frozen. So I love that you're thinking about them. And I think this also speaks to your question about strategic markers, because, you know, right now we've been talking about the kids and what's a good time to introduce certain ideas or language. But the fact of the matter is that all of your parents have their own stories with their own sexuality, their own brokenness, their own relationships with God. And that all gets layered in here. You know, either we never had the sex talk, or we had it like 5 minutes, blushing cheeks, and then it was on to ice cream, or I ask questions when I'm not saying me, but you know, other people's stories, ask questions when I was really young and I was told like, why would you even think about that? So we all have our own stories that are layered into having that effect on us when we talk to our kids or when our kids ask a question. So Linda and I really encourage parents to, first of all, just know that's true for everyone. That's true for absolutely everyone. And there's just so much space and grace here for that. We also are quick to say, you're not going to get this perfect. You shouldn't get this perfect. If you do, we need to have other conversations, because they don't know anybody who can have this conversation perfectly. And if, and that's not the example we want to give to our kids. So be humble with your kids, answer what you can. I don't know is a fabulous answer, and that builds trust with your kids. And we also encourage, I think it's in our book, Linda Noble, Before the Sex Talk, like have the conversation. If you think of something later or actually think, I don't quite like how I said that. Feel free to go back and be honest with your kids and say, okay, I got stuck here, or my own emotions got high, or I went totally drew a blank, or you know what, I want to change what I told you, and go ahead and have those conversations. And that goes like what you were saying, Jonathan, this shouldn't be one conversation and one visit to this topic. It should be something that's fully integrated into your life with your kids and your family. Even as adult children, you're going to come back to it. Hopefully that takes some of the stress off. And I just think that's a beautiful journey that you and your kids can share together. And yeah, it's totally scary, but that's natural.
Yeah. And I would add, and I, at the risk of sounding like, you know, I'm all about promoting what we've created. We created those companion workbooks for exactly that reason, because, you know, we've given our Before the Sex Talk book out to people. And then the feedback has been, even though we had some, you know, specific suggestions for what to say and how to talk about it, people were like, but this is still such exactly like you described, Jonathan. This is still so frightening. And what if I say it wrong and all of that? So really our companion workbooks were just out of a desire to help parents move step by step through those conversations in a way that we believe it will be really beautiful, actually kind of fun. We have like a lot of fun activities and discussions to enjoy together. And so if you start from the beginning, you know, you really are laying that foundation. And when you finally get to those parts of the conversation that are more sensitive, you've kind of worked your way up and you've built that relationship with your child and those conversations that are authentic with them, and it just going to feel more natural. So I think that, I do think it's important for parents to have those conversations, but it's also only realistic to give them tools to help them with those conversations.
Well, speaking of that, how can people get connected to the Identity Project and what you all have done there? And then also, how can they get these other resources that you guys have been mentioning here today?
So Identity Project's at identityproject.tv. And it's a subscription-based or membership-based product. So just go check it out, and you can even do a free trial, I believe, or a limited trial so that they can kind of engage with the content and see if it's something they're into. Our resources are at, I almost gave the wrong website, theconversationworkshop.com. All one word spelled just how it is, theconversationworkshop.com. We have a book that Linda Noble was talking about that spreads out this whole vision for you. It's called Before the Sex Talk. And then the companion books, like Linda Noble, those are just like companion books, right? The title?
Right. Yes. So the parent can read that parent is actually directed to read like chapter one of Before the Sex Talk. Then we have like a whole, you know, maybe 20 to 30 minute conversation and activity that the parent can lead their child through in the companion workbook. So both the opportunity for parents to understand maybe a bigger picture, maybe to understand it more on their level before diving in the workbook with their children.
And Can I say, Jonathan, I want to say, Jonathan didn't ask us to say this, but it's a very genuine statement. Our books are very focused on this vision and theology of the body, but speaking to the anxiety and concern that parents have, Be Broken has tremendous resources. And a lot of those resources also emphasize something that we don't, which is that emotional connection with your child, which our book, you know, if you can do our book after you've learned that emotional way to connect and be in relationship with your child, then I think that's a home run. So I'd say Honest Talk by John Fort, and then any number of your products under Family are just really going to help your audience to be able to more confidently and practically engage these conversations over time in a way that also brings them closer to their children.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I feel like that's, you mentioned earlier, you guys love to collaborate. We do too. We feel like there's a lot of overlap in these types of resources. And we're going to put all that information in the show notes because we want to be able to direct people to all these incredible resources. But the Lindas, thank you so much. You all have done such amazing work in this space. And this has been a great conversation. And I know it's going to bless so many people today. So thanks for being here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put lots of stuff in the show notes that's going to help you, especially as parents, to be able to navigate all these kinds of conversations, this very sometimes heavy topic, but it's as we've heard today, it's supposed to be a beautiful topic that reminds us of the great design by our Creator. And so we hope that this has been a hopeful message for you. And our desire is always to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us. And we want to help you on that journey. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.